West West, y'all.
This is Adam Tafel, and you're listening to The Success Recipe.
All right, got another episode of the lockdown specials of The Success Recipe. Been in lockdown now for quite a while, but catching up with and meeting all the other members of the West West Network. Today we've got the Guru of Gains, Mr. Zealous State of Mind himself, the amazing podcast, one of many that have been nominated for the New Zealand Podcast Awards, the Brother Yash. How you doing, man?
Good, thanks, man. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for taking the time. I know you're probably, busy needing to get out because, you know, we're all free and we have freedom right now. How have you been coping with lockdown? What are we, 6 weeks in now?
Yeah, I think you're right. 6 weeks. Man, it's been tough, eh, to be honest. Out of all the lockdowns we've had so far, this one's been by far the hardest for me. Just with the two kids at home, trying to look after them. Like, my wife helps me out as well, but it just gets boring too. Like, if you're looking after your kids, like, and you've got freedom, like, you can go to the park and do different things, but there's only so much you can do at home, you know, in the rooms and you've got the backyard, and you say you're really trying to be creative to try to keep them fun and engaged, and it's just a lot of time together as well, eh? You know, you can see how people getting angry, and I'm not that type of guy, but how domestic violence can go up and things like that. Like, if you have, like, issues or have, like, trauma from the past and stuff, and you're stuck at home with partner and kids, and you just need to get out and you can't, man. Like, I could see that really could weigh on your mind. So, but no, I've struggled a bit, eh, to be honest. But I'm lucky, you know, I've been working out a bit. That's been a bit of a saving thing, going for walks. So those sort of my main things. And then in the morning, I usually try to read, write, journal, pray. Like, it's not long, maybe like 10, 15 minutes. So I think those are the main things that have kept me sane. I don't think if I went for a workout and that each day, I don't know, would have snapped in some way or something like that. But it's been tough. It's been tough, to be honest, I guess, like a lot of other people. But at the same time, I've been blessed, like, with my wife's being able to work from home. The first, I think, week she had to go in, so it was just me and the kids on my own. And then the second week they changed where she could work from home. So that was a lot more helpful. And then we both have work. You know, I work a couple of hours a day. So I just look after a few students to support work, like help them with some subjects that they're struggling with. But it's not too much, you know, it's only a couple of hours, maybe a little bit of prep work and stuff like that. But so blessed in that way. But yeah, it's definitely been challenging. Yeah. I don't know about you, man, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, us Aucklanders, we've had it pretty tough. Like, I think the first 2 or 3 weeks is like, oh man, it's easy. Like, we're gonna be out in like next tomorrow. Like, but yeah, it's 6 weeks, and you know, it's dragged on. And you know, we've been in lockdown longer than anyone else and anyone else around the country. And I think I think you touched on a few things. Like, it's not human nature to be stuck in an environment like this for this amount of time, and also, like, you know, be stuck with people for that long as well, like, you know, the same person. Like, obviously, you know, we're in relationships and we love the people we're with, but you know, our day-to-day, like, we go to work and then we come home, right? And we're not with them 24/7 for like six weeks non-stop. So it's a bit crazy and testing, and just like you, bro, like, just trying to exercise when I can. Like, I stupidly sold the exercise equipment I did have after the last lockdown. I was like, we're done. Like, I'm going to try and put the good karma out there. Like, don't need this. So, like, I got rid of my kettlebell and stuff. So I've just been hitting the road, eh? So that's one thing that I guess, much like yourself, like, you know, exercise has been a huge part of my life so far. So, I mean, I can't remember basically if I've ever had 6 weeks off from the gym doing weights. So, you know, it's kind of like, oh, it'll be nice for my body to have something to work towards again, because you know how you kind of go in and out of your programming and you get bored and lack motivation. Like, I haven't lifted anything for 7 weeks, so I think it's going to be a nice reset for me for the body.
Natural deload sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly, as opposed to, you know, just getting bored. So it'll be nice trying to be like, oh, what are weights again?
I went for a run the other night, and it was pretty magical, eh? Like, you know, I would just, as you were saying about you've been hitting the road a lot, and you know, no one was on the road. It was sort of dark. Just sort of had to get the kids sorted, so then I was free after that, and then just went for a run. The stars were out, and yeah, it's quite nice. Eh? It's that runner's high. Like, I haven't been big on running, but I just know you have to, like, playing basketball and league and rugby and stuff. You just have to do it, and yeah, definitely got on the runner's high. Eh? Like, you know. It's quite peaceful and just breathing, and you're just alone with your thoughts, man. Like, you do like some good like problem solving and work through things, you know, out on the road and stuff. So I thought it gave me. I did a post on my story. I wrote like a moment of clarity, and then when I got back, I was like, man, I feel a lot clearer after that. And then I put up a Jay-Z song like over the top. It was a moment of clarity one, and yeah, it was really you know, really connected with. That moment, you know, after having a tough day, you know, I was sort of struggling a bit that day. So it was really cool that, you know, we were talking about running and then
everything. Yeah, I'll same as you, like, only ever used to run for sport, you know. But we've had two long lockdowns over the past 2 years, so, but yeah, it's not my jam, but it allows me to kind of, like, you know, de-stress and kind of, you know, get yourself in the right mindset. And then, like you said, like, you know, you can solve problems and stuff. So when I'm struggling, when I'm only like 100 meters in and I'm like, oh, I've got another 9.8K, like, I just start thinking about other stuff, and time goes past. And yeah, like, being in the city when it's like dead, there's no cars on the road, it's like mean. You're like, wow, it's legit. Like, there's no one here. It's almost like a zombie apocalypse or something, like you see in those TV shows. But yeah, just got to do what you can to kind of make sure you keep your mental health in check, eh?
Yeah, there's another thing that I was thinking, like, there was a particular day, I think it was that day, I can't remember, there was a day particularly that I was sort of struggling, but then I was thinking about that, eh, because I haven't, I don't know how this maybe sounds a bit cocky or something, but I haven't really been through like a big depression or anything like that, anxiety, but I felt like I've been feeling that a little bit this lockdown, and I was like, man, so this is what people are talking about. I don't know if it's just because maybe it's online a lot more as well, like, I'm more like, oh, have I got it, you know, like when you got a little bit of a cold and then you're like, haven't got COVID, but I mean, it's just, you know, because that's what you hear, so you cough a couple of times, you think you got COVID, but you don't, but yeah, maybe, but anyway, where I was going, I was like, man, I don't really, I was like, I got my kids, they love me and care for me and my wife, but at the end of the day, they just need me to do my thing, you know. I could see how they, I don't know, it's weird thought, like, I just have to turn up for them, you know what I mean? Like, I'm gonna be like, oh, hey, baby, like, I'm struggling today. It's like, they don't really care, right? Like, they just want me to play and stuff like that. So that's why I went out there. I was like, I gotta sort myself out, you know. And I think that's something, whatever it is for someone, they've got to get out there, whatever it is. If it's music, I think there's a few things there. Usually, like, talking with a friend or family member or, you know, special or whatever. Music is always another one. Writing, you know, praying, like, exercise. There's different things there that can help people. And, like, they got to find a way, eh, to I could definitely relate to help, you know, get through just the mental side of it. But, yeah, I could definitely relate to a lot of what people are going through.
Yeah, and I guess leading on to what we're doing now, like, for me, that was obviously a big release as well, like podcasting. So, you know, we've been in the game for a while and we're part of the West West Network. So what was it about starting your own podcast that really appealed to you? Like, what got you into podcasting?
Man, yeah, I think I was an early adopter. Eh? I got in years ago, but my gear got stolen. So I stopped for a few years, and then I've gotten back into it 2 years. So I'm thinking like maybe 5-6 years ago that I got into podcasting. But I was a big part of the CrossFit movement early on, maybe 10-12 years ago. I got into CrossFit, and they had a thing in CrossFit. It was called the CrossFit Journal. I guess it was for all the disciples, really. They had videos, articles on training and why they're doing this and that, and if there was anything new, like I don't know, something about kettlebell training or gymnastics or running, because they would always try to invite subject experts on, you know, a running coach or weightlifting, and that's where they would put like the articles and videos, and even just like local stories. They'd put on stories like successful gyms and stories, or even people who had injuries or different disabilities, they would share those successes and celebrate there. So on the journal, they had a podcast. So I would read little articles, watch the videos, and they had a podcast on there, which is, yeah, maybe 10, 12 years ago. And I would listen to the CrossFit podcast, and they had a guy called Rob Wolf. He was the diet guy, the nutrition guy. And so he wrote a book called Paleo Solution, and I really liked that. I was trying to learn about nutrition and stuff. So his was pretty much the CrossFit, and the Paleo Solution one was the first podcast I listened to, and I really loved it. I didn't know what he was talking about half the time because he's using a lot of terms, nutrition, I didn't understand. I probably understand a lot more now, but back then, but I was just pick up on little key things and then, you know, add them to my plan. But he was a guest on the Joe Rogan Experience one time. I didn't know who Joe was back then, but he said, it was probably about a year or two after listening to Rob Wolf, and he said, I was a guest, you know, you do your intro, you talk about what you've been up to, and he said, I was a guest on the Joe Rogan Experience, check it out sometime. I was like, oh, okay, so I just, you know, Googled it, found the episode, and I loved it, and then I was like, oh, Joe's mean, you know, he's a great interviewer. So then I started listening to Joe Rogan, and sort of went from there. And then at the time, I was running the box with my family, I was CrossFit at the time, and I was like, man, I want to start a podcast, you know. I think I was, at the time, man, I was really competitive in the sport of CrossFit, and I had a lot of friends, awesome friends in CrossFit. I knew all the coaches from other boxes. Like, it was a cool community. It was a cool time, you know. We're competing all the time and doing some courses, gymnastics ones, weightlifting, strongman, things like that. So we're running into each other a fair bit. And I was like, oh, yeah, I know quite a lot of people, you know, who know about fitness and training and things like that. I could, you know, ask my friends to jump on as guests, as they, you know, being business people and coaches and things like that. So that's where it sort of started. I did that. I can't remember how many episodes. I got 15, 17 before my gear got stolen. I really enjoyed it. I loved it. It was probably the wrong time, to be honest, when I started back then. It was good because it was, you know, I was an early adopter. I could have been way ahead if I kept it going. But I think I should have been focused on my business. that's just like a side point. I probably should have focused on Zealous CrossFit and building that. But I don't know. It was so fun connecting with people. That's why I picked it up again. Yeah, I love learning from other people. That's why I still listen to them, you know, even, you know, on a daily basis. Not so much during lockdown because it's more of a commute thing, like a driving, doing the dishes, doing the washing. When I'm doing stuff like that, that's podcasting time for me. But yeah, then I did it back then, and I loved it. And then I was looking to get back into it. I talked to Cam from West West Network. Oh no, I talked to Isaiah at a party. No, it was a church or party, yeah, something like that. Isaiah, co-host of the Back of the 135, and I said, "What are you up to on the weekend?" And he goes, "Oh, I've got a podcast." And that's what he said, and I was like, "Oh man, I'm into podcast too." And then we started talking, and then he invited me over. I just wanted to learn because I was thinking about starting up again. And then I went over there. I met Cam, and then Cam really encouraged me to start up again. And I didn't really know what gear to get in that because I just had a microphone in the early days. I had a microphone, a handheld camera, so I'd set up the camera and then just hold the mic out like to whoever was talking, record that, and then put that over the video. And that's how I did it back then. But I knew it evolved since then. So I was like, I asked him what gear he recommended. And I, you know, looked up a few YouTube videos on what I should do. And then, yeah, re-sparked it up again. And I've loved it since then. Like, you know, connecting people like you, other people. Like, now, like, it's been very important for me, especially through lockdown. Because, like I said, I talk to my wife, my kids, you know, the family that I live with here. And my work colleagues, you know, work at Avondale College, they're mainly female and they're awesome. They're lovely and all that. But I don't have that CrossFit community that I used to have. And so by doing podcasts, I get to get more of a vast array of different people and perspectives and stuff, which I really enjoy. You know, like I've had boxers on, different type of guests, CrossFitters, people that are doing different things in their life, rugby, basketball. I've had, you know, financial people. So, yeah, just different guests because I get that different perspective. Like, from my day-to-day, I don't get that, you know, from my job because it's all education. Come home, then it's all family. So I miss that, like, you know, different lives. So we, like, when I used to play like league rugby and basketball, you got that because your teammates had different, you know, they were studying, they had businesses, or, you know, they had different jobs. So you would get a wide variety of different perspectives and things like that. But now that I don't play competitive sports, I don't get that. So I get that through podcasting now, and I learn from them and connect with them. I really enjoy the connecting. So yeah, I don't know if I answered your question properly, but you said podcast, and that's where I screwed up.
No, that pretty much answered it about kind of what got you into it. A lot of your guests, you know, you do have quite a variety, and you've got quite a lot of athletes as well. But when you're looking for guests on your podcast, is there anything sort of any like specific things you're looking for, or is it you might other than people you know, is it sometimes you might just come across someone and think, oh, I'm interested in trying to learn about like their journey and their story? Is that something that also piques your interest when looking at who you choose to have on your podcast?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Like you said, you got to use who you know, your networks, and that sort of thing. And then also people that you say, oh, that's interesting. Maybe it was like one of your friends or Cam's friends or someone else, one of my family or friends members that they knew that was interesting or doing some cool stuff. But yeah, I sort of modeled mine one off, like Joe Rogan and Tim Ferriss. Those are two of the ones I really enjoy. I didn't want it to be a niche one that I know, you know, that works for people, and that's holding me back not being a niche one. But I felt like I didn't want to just do CrossFit because it would get boring, or just fitness, because I am interested in other things as well, although that's probably like the main thing I enjoy most. But I like how Joe talks and Tim Ferriss, they talk to people from like businesses and health and, you know, scientists, and, you know, I find that really interesting. So for my guests, I try to get, I feel like there's like two categories to me. Like there's famous people who are, or well-known, like podcasters, TV, media, or that they just sort of like talk to each other over and over. And I think that's why podcasting is good, because people like me and yourself and other podcasters, we have a voice, we have a platform to talk. And I feel like there's like a lot of amazing stories through friends and family that aren't told. So there's that type of person that I like to interview, like someone down the street or a friend or family member who's doing awesome things, but no one's ever heard of. So I like to interview people like that. And then also people who are famous as well, because, you know, you want to sort of see what makes them tick, and, you know, find out some of their routines and habits and things like that. So like myself, like I feel like, you know, I call myself Guru of Gains. I'm pretty confident in my ability, you know, help people with health and fitness and stuff like that, but I'm not really known. And I feel like there's a lot of people like me in there, you know, maybe it's in dance or music or whatever it is, that know a lot, but they're just not famous. But they know a lot about their subject, you know, their field of interest, and I feel like they could have a lot of value to the listener, and they could share some great information, and people just doing like great service things as well. You know, they're helping communities and doing great stuff, but it's just a good way to share their work and bring some exposure to them, and then also connect, you know, someone, someone might listen to my one, find someone, and then find out they're connected some way, or, you know, some builds connections through the podcast as well. So yeah, that's sort of the way I look at guests. I know everybody's different. I know most of them, when I was looking at the podcast, they were saying to have a niche, like, but I just didn't want to do that. And the most successful one in the world, like the Joe Rogan one, he doesn't have this, you know, he's not narrowed into that. And then I think Tim Ferriss is pretty up there as well, and he doesn't do that either. So I think it's like, obviously you've got to have some sort of marketing and sort of strategy to it, but also doing what you enjoy as well. And that's what I enjoy. I didn't want to just do one type of genre or topic.
Mm. Yeah, and I think for me as well, like, doing it is more of it's like an outlet, as opposed to like that the purpose is to blow up and get to Joe Rogan level. Like, I think when your intention is there, and like, as you said, like, you know, there's people who may not be famous or well known in a specific community, but the knowledge they have is really good, and it's just like, eventually or maybe not, but like people who want to get that knowledge or listen to you, they will, and, you know, you'll help change or impact their lives. But like, it's completely different to like the influencers who are like, I can do 5 push-ups, and it's just like, you're just 18 and you're jacked. Like, I was jacked when I was 18 too, and I was eating pies and drinking beers, and like, and that was my workout. Like, that's life. Like, do it when you're 40 and let's see if you can stay that ripped off, you know. But like, you know, that's a different thing. Like, I think what we do, or at least why I do the podcasting, is because it's an outlet for me, and if anything comes from that as a byproduct, like, that's fine. But like, if anything, yeah, I'm like you, where I'd like sort of the platform that we utilize to kind of help improve other people's lives as well. So,
Oh, sorry, just one more thing. Like, I listened to this guy called Zach Evanish, and he's a strength conditioning trainer in the States. And he said he has like a course, right? He does a like strength conditioning course people can do. And he said he's had people do the course he's done, and they've ended up going on and be successful in their field, but they won't reference him. And I feel like I'm one of those type of guys. Like, I've helped like athletes and stuff like that and people, but they won't never give me credit. And I think, I don't know what it is, but he was saying the same thing. And I think I've just learned to accept that I'm just one of those guys. I think it may be the upbringing, like being brought up poor and stuff like that. I'm not poor anymore, but I think it's just the aura, like something that you're carrying that people don't want to mention you. You know what I mean? So that's sort of like part of the podcasting thing for me, is like getting those people on that we were just talking about, that maybe don't get the love that they only want to talk to other people who are other famous people, you know, and they're sort of clicky, a bit bougie sort of thing. Yeah, so I want to get those like people like myself. Yeah, that we sort of just talked about it. But that was just an example of, I think there is a there's those certain people like that, you know. Yeah.
I'm just not pretty enough. That's my issue. Like, people don't want to. They're like, that guy can't have his face on like Pepsi cans. Like, he's not gonna sell anything. So, you said you like started way back in like 2014 or whatever. Did you get like when you were podcasting then? Oh, this sounds old. Like, Spotify and that would have been around, like, or was that around, and were you putting your podcasts up, or have you only just been putting up Zealous State of Mind, like the stuff in the past couple of years?
Yeah, I've only been putting it up when I started Zealous State of Mind. I caught it before there was the Guru of Gains Parlay,
Oh, yeah.
but back then I didn't know about the platforms and things like that. So I didn't even know if you could call it a podcast, but I would video it, and then, as I was saying, put the microphone sound over the top, and I would upload it to YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
And then I did create a website, but no one really went there. I wasn't, you know, I'm certainly small that you could just download the audio. But most people that listen to it, they went to YouTube.
So I met you only last year, like out of the first big lockdown, is when I came in and did Back of the 135 with you, Cams and Eyes. At that point, were you already, were you a part of the network, or was the network an idea yet, or?
Yeah, I think I was a newly joined member. Yeah, it was pretty new. Yeah, in that time.
Yeah, because I remember that, and obviously you already knew. Did you know Cams before, or just Isaiah?
Nah, only Isaiah, because Isaiah went to church with my wife. They're sort of from the same circle, and but my wife knew Cams and that circle as well, but I don't think Cam went to church with those guys, so that's probably where it wasn't connected. But no, I knew Cam through only through the podcasting and Isaiah. Yeah. I knew Isaiah from before, through some of our fears friends, my wife's friends, and that sort of thing.
And do you know any of the other people from the network through circles, or nah?
Nah. I think it was Isaiah. Yeah, I'm trying to think. No, they were all new, probably similar to yourself. Did you know any of the crew or not?
Nah, not at all, eh? That's why I thought I was the only one that was kind of like a not a part, but I guess still not, because I don't live out west either. But neither does old Mr. H Town either. But Cams had just reached out to me, because I think I started back in 2019. Just looking back at yours, it looks like you put your first episode up end of was October 2019. I think I must have started around the same time. Would have been like mid to end of 2019, and I just came about it like I had a I'd recently moved back from the US, and I just had a one of my managers at the gyms I worked at. He was this fitness coach, and he had just started doing one on his own. So that would have been like 2018, 2019, and the podcast game was already blowing up over there then. And he was just like, "Oh, just do it." I was like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "Just order a microphone on Amazon. Just do it. Like, who cares?" And I was like, "Oh, okay." So I did that, and then I like he was my first guest. Like, interviewed him through Zoom and stuff, and then I was like, "Oh, yeah, this is pretty cool." And I think I would, just interviewed a couple people, maybe three or four people in person, which made it easier. But I just didn't have any visual. Like, I couldn't. I had to get photos when I was putting my posts up. But then it was when lockdown happened, and I think I was a little bit more active, and I think Cams was just searching, just looking for other, Pacific people who were doing the podcasting game, and then that's when he reached out to me.
Yeah, I remember we really hit it off that podcast. And I listened to your first one too with your mate. That was really cool. It was good. Like I'm saying, having different guests, it was cool to hear from some of the American, the upbringing and background. Like people talk differently as well. So I really enjoyed that. And just the way of thinking is different as well. So I really enjoyed.
Yeah, I think it's similar to you, where it's just like, I guess all of my like sporting connections and everything and friendships, like through your CrossFit and all that, you can now call on them and reach out to them to like interview them because of the interesting stories. And for me, it was the same. Like, I had been away from New Zealand for like 7 or 8 years, so like it kind of made sense to just be like, oh, why don't I just reach out to people over there while I can, and then also reach out to old friends and stuff here as well.
Yeah, I found this change recently because podcasting's blown up so much that like when I reach out to people, I think people are more aware of it and a little bit more skeptical of it and stuff like that. One of the guys I had on recently, he was asking questions and stuff. Fair enough, because the last one was a bit of a he said it was a bit of a shit show sort of thing. The guy wasn't organized and stuff, but he enjoyed my one. But yeah, I think it's become more common, and people are more like picking and choosing who they jump on with and talk with, and it's sort of like you got to be, I guess they got to be careful, a part of their like image and their branding and all that sort of stuff as well. But before it was just like, oh yeah, I'll jump on, it was a little bit more relaxed.
Yeah, now there's this, I feel like it's like, oh, well, what's in it for me type thing. And it's like, oh, coming on the wrong podcast. Oof. I wish there was something in it for me. I'm just trying to have a yarn. But yeah, you're right, eh? It's, people want things now, and it's just like, bro, look at my Instagram. Like, there's literally just random people, just good yarns is all it is. So, but yeah, it's interesting. It does make it harder to find people, eh?
Yeah, just yeah, like even when I was running the boxes at Zealous with the family, I was thinking of, I wish I did got to do it. We were starting a Zealous podcast just for the members and stuff like that. That was just before I left, but I thought that would have been cool just to hear everyday stories. You sort of hear about some stuff like written form and that, but in a podcast form, I think that would have been really cool just hearing like everyday people's stories and stuff like that. Because people who have been on like TV and media and stuff, they talk a certain way, I think. It's very cliche and sort of the same stuff. And then like not all of them, some of them like talk real, but everyday people, they talk a little bit more real and answer things a little bit different as well. So I think that would have been cool. I think that's a good one to do for anybody who's in like some sort of community sort of thing. It's just like talking with everyday people, because people can relate to it and that. Yeah, that's one that sort of got away a little bit.
We were chatting earlier this year, you mean Cams, and we've mentioned this, and I think you're looking to launch one soon. But we're talking about things like ebooks and stuff. So is that something that you're kind of looking to add to the Zealous podcast? And as well as that, what's your plans sort of in the future moving forward for you with the podcast?
yeah, that was a cool chat that we had that you brought up as well, you know, with the ebooks and helping with the website and just offering more to listeners and for the West West Network. So yeah, definitely, I've got an ebook. It's pretty much, it's written and it's done. I'm just trying to find the place to release it off. There was some ones that I found, but it's like the apps, when you get the free ones, they're not as good. So I don't mind paying, but I'm just trying to find one that paints it in the right picture.
Yeah.
So just some sort of platform to release my ebook. But it's pretty much done. It's just it's 10 tips. It's called Survival of the Zealous, 10 Tips to Live Your Most Zealous Life. So it was based on the lockdowns that we've went through. So it's 10 tips for anyone listening that you don't have to pay anything for. So they're just, it takes a little bit of time, intention, and it just helps your mindset, health, and overall well-being. And they're pretty not too long writing as well. I guess people don't want to read too long. So it's just, yeah, 10 tips based on what I've been through. And then the next one, I sort of started writing it before. It was when I had my two kids. I try to keep training through. Like, I'm pretty addicted to my training. I'm pretty committed to that. So I try to train through the first one and the second one. So I try to do a program for, like, dads, basically. It's called, I don't have a proper name for it yet. Oh, no, I do. That's going to be the next one I work on. It's called The Masculine Man. I haven't quite finished the details, but it's war against the dad bod, basically. Not accepting it. I know a lot of, like, guys, when they become dads, they just let go, sort of thing. I don't think you need to, but I was trying to develop a program that you can train through and just sort of stay in some sort of shape until you get into routine and stuff like that again. Now that my daughter's turned one and the other one's nearly three, I feel like I'm getting time and routine and that back again, because, you know, the older one can walk around and we can give her food and she can eat it. So as they get older, it gets a little bit easier because they can do more things. So it's just like I'm trying to develop a program that's quite simple that you can do in those early few months when you don't have hardly any time. The templates I did, it was probably a little bit too hard. So that's why I want to tweak it. And then even I couldn't do it. So that's why I'm like, okay, this is not legit. So I can't put this out. So it was still too long, you know?
Yeah.
So I've still got like a bunch of details that I've got to tidy up in that. But yeah, it's going to be a program basically for dads. It's simple. It's not like a long-term one. It's just like to help you through those times when you have hardly any time. And then the leading into the next thing, I sort of got, those are the three ideas, or two ideas. I got one more. I've been doing the knees over toes because I've had like knee problems on and off through the years, like doing a million squats through CrossFit. I can still do everything, but they just niggle from time to time. So I saw the knees over toes stuff on Instagram, and I thought it was really cool, made sense. So I've been doing that. I did that for like 9 months, made a lot of good progress and stuff like that. But I wasn't quite fully fixed. So I don't know if it was to do with my structure, like flexibility, mobility, or even my nutrition, because that's been pretty bad. So that can be playing a role. But I'm starting to figure out the last few pieces of that. And I'm going to do a program based off my experience with the knees stuff and like what I think was missing from it. You know, I think it's a great program, though. That's just from my take. Because I'm more like, everybody's different. You know, I like muscle. I like being strong and all that. I feel like you get strong in the knees. And because the guy comes from like a basketball perspective, so if you're playing basketball, body, you're probably perfect. But for me, I still want to be jacked, you know, like still want to be sort of big. But yeah, you don't get big and you don't get, I feel like I lost muscle mass. So it's just probably like a little bit of a tweak on it. Like from like the body that I feel like I went softer from it, you know. But like it did work though in terms of my mobility and flexibility and strength around my knees. So those are sort of the three things I'm working on in terms of the ebook space. And that was brought on as well as from lockdown as well. Like I feel like I want to create some business online, you know, just because times aren't certain. And I guess everybody's different, but I've never liked working for the man in a way. I mean, I am right now. You know, I worked at Avondale for a few years. When I worked at Zealous, it was like a family business, 8 years. Looking back, I had jobs for that, like carpet cleaning. Worked in the bar, did some laboring stuff and all that. Like, looking back, even though there was tough times at Zealous, it was probably my fondest times in terms of work. Just like the first 2 years, maybe the first five, probably the last 2 years, I made a little bit of money. Like it was like good to live off, you know, and enjoy life and all that. But the first 5 years wasn't good financially for me and personally, but it was fun. You know, it was flexible. It was definitely like that thing, like you don't have everything, but like the life was good, you know. Training, like hanging out with cool people. It was flexible, like in the time. In the day, you know, you could pick up family members from the airport. You could go to lunch and stuff. But like now that I work a normal job, like I can do any of that. You know, I'm locked in from, the morning 8:45 to 3:15 and that's it, you know. Whereas there I could take classes or switch classes, you know, with some of the people that worked with us, you know. And I could go to things at night or in the day, you know, like, so I'm definitely trying to work towards getting back to working for myself. I think podcasting obviously is not really like a money maker for me, but I think what we talked about before, but that can be a way to promote some of the ebooks and the other business side of things. And also with the West West Network, towards, I don't know, having a job in person and also making money online as well. I think having, you know, streams of income, multiple. I've been wanting to do that for ages. I just haven't quite figured it out, but that's definitely the direction. But when doing that, I don't want to do things I don't enjoy. So I enjoy training, fitness, writing. So, you know, all the ebooks are things that I enjoy. These are things I do. They're not like just because I think there's a hole in the market, that's what I'm going to do. It's just like, I want to do what I'm passionate about and enjoy and that side of things. So, I think we have to move, or we don't have to, but in a way, technology is driving forward. We have to adapt with it in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, it's, I mean, especially with lockdowns and, I mean, you know, everyone's a COVID expert and, you know, people say this is the new normal and, you know, travel and everything not going to happen, be back to normal for like years to come. But like one thing you touched on, man, and I completely feel the same, is like I think when you've had to run your own business, like, you know, I was a personal trainer in the States, like basically running your own business, like when you have to build your own clientele, like there's something about that for me is similar to like sport, right? Like you've got to compete, you've got to like fight and claw hard to kind of like build your business. And then when you're at that sweet spot, it's great. You know, you've got good money, basically you can do whatever you want, like you said. And I miss that now. It's crazy. West West Show.
This is Adam Tafel, and you're listening to The Success Recipe.